D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
There is a terrible cost that comes with removing God from our public life. Do you know what it is? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Happy Mother's Day, and welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. When we consider the genius of the Constitution, we recognize that we were given a great gift by the founders of America. Through the Constitution and our other charter documents, they enshrined both the spirit and the practical foundation of liberty, all based upon clear biblical principles. And yet, like a beach after a storm, the evidence of corrosive erosion is everywhere, with far-left politicians and power-hungry judges twisting and contorting the Constitution to serve their own ends. On today's program, you will discover why the move to secularize the nation is actually destroying the basis of our freedom. And you'll meet an inspiring woman who knows what it's like to live under the heavy hand of godless government and who has some warnings for America. As we begin, Dr. George Grant is a pastor, author, and educator who has closely studied the political left and their attempts to institute their agenda of sexual anarchy through the court system. He's written extensively on Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and America's Christian history. And I recently had the chance to sit down and talk with him in Nashville about the state of our Constitution. George, you've written extensively on the Constitution, some of it from its conceptual roots, and an interested or disinterested observer, I think today, would say the Constitution is in a bit of a crisis. Is that your view? And if so, why?
I think that the Constitution has suffered death by a thousand cuts. I don't think it's any one thing, any one crisis. It's not even any one particular philosophy of constitutional interpretation. It's that the Constitution has become, in a sense, the punching bag for every ideology and every interpretation, and because we have precedent-based interpretations, we're now just basically thrown from pillar to post by whatever federal court, whatever federal judge happens to rule on an issue anywhere in the country at any time. The framers of the Constitution operated from principle and moved from principle to precept. What we do is we start with precept, we ignore the principle, and then we arrive at new principles from the precepts. So what I would argue is that students in freshman classes as undergraduates taking political science for the first time or the history of the United States for the first time are being settled into a wrong framework from the start. So by the time they get to the first year of law school, they're already lost no matter what the law school might teach them.
That's a good point. A framework versus a platform for activism is what many people view the Supreme Court as, the vehicle through which I can enact cultural social change, as opposed to the difficult process of doing that in the legislative framework. They want the justices to do it for them.
Yeah, and you know, the founders had this vision that the Supreme Court would be the great conserving influence among the three branches of government to reduce the efforts at activism in the legislative or the executive branches. It was intended to check by holding fast to those principles, those foundations. So it was never intended to make law, change law, adjudicate in the sense of advancing a new social or cultural agenda. It was always intended to restrain, to hold back the revolutionary impulse. The framers knew very well the natural inclinations of people in government, and they wanted to find a way to hold back that impulse. That's what the courts were intended to be. Of course, they've become something entirely different now.
The idea of politics being downstream from culture is something I've heard said over and over again in D.C., too often, I think, as an excuse. Today, I have a very good friend who says that idea no longer has any merit because all of culture is political. Everything's been overly politicized. But you've also written about some reformers who stood against the downstream. If we wait for the re-Christianizing of culture, it may not ever happen without some, like a Wilberforce,
right,
or a Frederick Douglass or a Martin Luther, who stand against the tides of the culture.
Right. And I would never suggest that we should wait for the church. What I'm suggesting is that everything that we do in Washington is only a temporary stopgap measure, and at best can help catalyze what will be the real change, which is the transformation of the grassroots. But you're absolutely right. I think that in a time when we look across the great heroes of the last generation now passing to their eternal reward in heaven, R.C. Sproul, Billy Graham, D. James Kennedy, with the passing of these men, we ought to make a fervent cry to the Lord. Lord, raise up the next Wilberforce. Raise up the next, you know, champion of faith. Raise up the next Dr. Kennedy. And do it quickly, Lord.
The leftist vision flowing from Karl Marx and his ilk requires social engineering through the heavy hand of the state. It is simply not compatible with freedom and limited government. Instead, it must force people into its mold, sometimes even killing tens of millions of people in order to create the elusive utopia. True liberty, by contrast, is the precious gift of Christianity, and it's a gift we are quickly losing, as Dr. D. James Kennedy explains in this portion of his message, Freedom's Holy Light.
The new communist man was to be a new creation on the face of the earth. He was to be noble and selfless, to be concerned for the well-being of others. He was to tower above the rest of puny mankind. Well, he said, they were correct, at least in part. They have given to the world a new man. But that new man, which has been created by 70 years of atheism and repression, is a monster who has systematically had cut out of his being his heart and his conscience, all sense of morals and ethics, and has been reduced to nothing more than a tiger in the jungle, with no compassion or compunction. People who are capable of doing to other human beings things that you could not even dream of in your worst nightmares. You see, what Marx and Lenin forgot is that only the Spirit of God can make people better. It is only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is liberty. and that there is the power to exercise that liberty for the good of others and for godliness. This same week, I talked to another man from an Eastern European country who told me that one of the bureaucrats of the government came and said, "We know that you have a way, a method of making people good. We want you to use it." He came and said this to a Christian, because, you see, they don't have any idea how to do it. The communist method has abysmally failed, and they don't know what to do. You Christians have a way of making people good, whatever it is, whatever it involves, even if it is God and religion, do it, because what we have is moral chaos and anarchy. When people are outside of Christ, they are either going to have tyranny or they are going to have anarchy. But right here in our own country, we have been following in their footsteps, and we too have made the same fatal blunder. We have forgotten that it is only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is real liberty, and a liberty which is not degenerating into license and all manner of immorality and cruelty. And so, in this country, a purblind Supreme Court over the past 20, 25 years has taken from our young people the Bible, prayer, the Ten Commandments, and now the Creator. And now we wonder, and we hear television commentators and newspaper columnists wondering what it is that has caused this dramatic rise in crime and every sort of evil in our country. They have forgotten what Ben Franklin knew, and that is, as he said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have need of masters. We have no government, said Adams, capable of dealing with an irreligious people. Did you get that? We have no government capable of dealing with an irreligious people. Do away with religion, and you do away with America. It is only the religion of Christ, where the Spirit of the Lord is, that people can be free and be good at the same time. This is a Christian nation, said a Supreme Court in a more enlightened time when the veil was not over their minds. It was known to be so from the very beginning. One of the most influential people in this country at the time of our Constitution was Noah Webster, who gave us the first American dictionary, and said, "The moral principles and precepts contained in the Scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." How far we have fallen. How blind have become the leaders of the blind in this nation of ours. The greatest genius of the American Revolution, said John Quincy Adams, was that it united in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. And yet today, most people have little or no understanding of this. It is only a people who are committed to God, who are capable of being free. And wherever that commitment diminishes or is destroyed, then that liberty will inevitably turn into license, and that license into anarchy and chaos, and that chaos will lead inevitably to tyranny, and we shall have our master. Hearts set free, that is what is needed. Free because of a faith and love to God.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels attempted to create the perfect society with perfect people, but through a coercive state. And they failed miserably, but not before 100 million people died in communist countries in the 20th century alone. You're about to meet someone who survived one of those oppressive regimes, despite a dictator's order to have her killed. And she says we should learn from her experiences in Romania. Our own John Rabe has more.
I was born in communist Romania during the dictatorship of Nicolae Ceausescu. I was born in a country that I call a land of lies and a prison land, because people were not allowed to speak the truth, and people never had the freedom to travel outside or the freedom to express their opinion about the government or any kind of opinion. And as a child, I was terrified. I realized that the government will not protect me, and not even my parents.
Virginia Prodan grew up under horrible repression in Romania, where the communist government outlawed the Bible, demolished churches, and persecuted Christians.
In fact, the dictator declared himself God and required or expected each one of the Romanians to worship him alone. And the ones who did not worship, they were jailed or killed or simply disappeared.
As a Christian attorney, she took on religious persecution cases. Even though she stands under 5 feet tall, she posed a great threat to the communist government, which made her a target of Romania's secret police.
They arrested me daily. They interrogated. They beat me, secret police. I was many times full of blood. And I learned what you read in the Bible. And full of pain, I will look straight to them and I will say, I don't like what you are doing, but I know God loves you and I choose to love you. And I knew that I was there not only for me to let Christ shine in me, but for my enemies to see that Christ loves them. And I knew that God can win them for His glory.
Unable to intimidate her into silence, dictator Nicolae Ceausescu personally ordered the assassination of Virginia Prodan. The assassin arrived at her office as soon as her assistant left when she was alone.
He started to scream and say, you not listen. We gave you enough warnings. I'm here to kill you. And he pulled the gun and he pointed to my face. And I froze there. I was able to see my life in my face for a few seconds. I thought about my kids. I heard my heart in my ears. And I looked straight at him and I realized he is a human being, God's creation. And he is in need of freedom and truth more than I'm in need of life or to survive. So I started to share the gospel. I want to tell you that in Romania, because it was risky for us to have a Bible, anytime we had a Bible, we memorized Bible verses. So I knew to memorize Bible verses to tell him, to recite to him the gospel. And as I recited the gospel to him, I noticed that his demeanor became softer, his shoulders relaxed, and he put the gun on the table. And he noted several times to me, he still looked straight to me, like searching me, and I looked straight into his eyes, almost seeing a change coming. And he came. He accepted Christ right there in front of me. And he left my law office as a free man and as a brother in Christ.
In fact, a chapter in her book, Saving My Assassin, is written by the man she led to Jesus Christ that night.
I discovered later on that President Ronald Reagan contacted our dictator to find about my whereabouts, and he promised the dictator to give him a 6 months or a year extension to most favored nation status with one condition, to let me and my family come to United States. And I want to say it's nothing about me. It's about Christ in me.
But I just give the government a chance.
Today, Virginia Prodan, who experienced the extremes of what Christian persecution can lead to, is an attorney fighting for religious liberty in America.
Many times I feel like I am saying to American people, and I want to scream and say, you go the wrong way. You go the wrong way. Turn back, turn back. America is at the crossroad. We as Christians, if we don't speak up, if we don't live our lives as Christ asks us to do, we are going to lose freedom in America.
Virginia Prodan now works as an attorney in the U.S. defending religious freedom because she has seen the danger of a powerful, unfettered central state. And she's experienced the transforming, freeing power of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, she has plenty of work to do in America as we see our First Amendment liberties being eroded or even eliminated by the courts, intent on rewriting the Constitution in the image of the far left. But what would America look like if she returned to her constitutional roots? Well, we have an extraordinary new resource that shows us, and here's my very dear friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. That resource is the new book from veteran journalist Robert Knight called A Strong Constitution, What Would America Look Like If We Followed the Law? In recent decades, the Constitution has been turned on its head. It expressly guarantees us freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom from government intrusion. And yet, we see conservative students being punished under draconian speech codes on college campuses, Christian bakers and photographers being hauled into court for exercising their Christian consciences against same-sex marriage, and the IRS targeting Christian and conservative groups because of their beliefs. It simply must stop. Our hard-won freedoms are at stake. In the book, A Strong Constitution, Robert Knight shows us how our chief governing document has been twisted almost beyond recognition, and he provides a roadmap for returning us to our constitutional freedoms. We'll send you this vital new book as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we'll send you the book, A Strong Constitution, plus my father's DVD message, The Bible and the Constitution. Nobody was more passionate about proclaiming America's Christian history and how it gave birth to our form of government than my dad. And this classic message was perhaps his clearest, most influential message on that crucial topic. As you donate, you'll also be helping us to train and equip a new generation of leaders who love and understand the Constitution and have the practical tools to make a difference in the halls of power through our D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership. So please, contact us right away with a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
One of the greatest blessings of America is freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and freedom of religion. In recent years, however, all of those liberties have been under attack by the far left, who have instituted their agenda through the courts and other government entities. They have been aided in that enterprise by the Southern Poverty Law Center, a far-left advocacy group that pretends to be a neutral clearinghouse for information on hate groups. We recently sued the SPLC for their false and defamatory labeling of D. James Kennedy Ministries as a hate group, a scurrilous claim that is demonstrably false by any measure. The SPLC has long made a practice of tagging mainstream evangelical groups as haters simply for holding to biblical positions on marriage and human sexuality. But at long last, it appears that the SPLC's fractured facade is coming apart. Recently, the secular commentary publication, The Week, noted what it called the sad hysteria of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they said, quote, the SPLC's ridiculously loose criteria could even brand the Dalai Lama a hater, given that His Holiness considers homosexuality sexual misconduct. The SPLC is now useful only to social justice warriors who share its ideology in toto. For everyone else, it is fast becoming a joke. We Christians are instructed by the Lord to be as innocent as doves, but also to be as wise as serpents. In a nation where we still retain some freedom to speak and influence our own government, it has been vital for Christians to stand up and refute false allegations. And with your help, we are indeed opening eyes. While the Southern Poverty Law Center persists in its dishonest and slanderous charges of hate and fascism against all who disagree with them, we must continue to lovingly and firmly share the truth of Jesus Christ, because freedom that remains unexercised grows weak to the point of atrophy. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. And happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Government is a dangerous servant, said Washington, and a fearful master.
Washington had the power of a nation, and he's going to step down? And the world held its breath. They couldn't believe he was going to go through with it.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.